What's up, guys? Welcome to the Flawed Dad's Guide to Parenting, the podcast all about a couple flawed dads trying to figure out how to be better parents. Today, Graham and I are interviewing Carlos Ayala, the co-host of Bad Advice Podcast, a podcast about parenting, growing up, and a whole bunch of different experiences. We discuss raising daughters, what character traits you should be looking for and promoting in your daughter, what sort of character traits your daughter should be looking for in men that they're going to date in the future, and what it's like growing up in a broken family where the women in your life don't necessarily respect men. It's a really interesting conversation. We agree on a lot of things. We disagree on a few things, but overall, it's incredibly educational and it's something I think you'll really enjoy. So make sure to stick around and listen as a couple flawed dads figure out how not to screw up their kids too bad.
Hey, Carlos.
Hey, how you doing?
Pretty good. How about yourself?
I'm doing great. It's a great Saturday night.
Thanks so much for coming on. Really appreciate it.
No, I appreciate you guys having me.
It's an absolute pleasure. I was listening to your podcast and I thought that some of the stuff you talk about on there would be perfect for coming in to talk with us about. And just to get us started, maybe tell me a little bit more about yourself. Tell the listeners about yourself, your family, that sort of thing.
So my name's Carlos Ayala. I am in Long Beach, California. I started this podcast, which is the Bad Advice Podcast, with my co-host. That's obviously not here. She's a cousin of mine. I'm 36 years, going to be 36 years old. She's 48, going on 49. I have a 16-year-old daughter. We started this podcast right in the beginning of the pandemic, roughly around March 2020. The purpose of the podcast was to at least give my cousin something to do. she works for a school district, and obviously schools were shut down at one point. And okay. I'll tell the exact story. I was actually washing dishes in my kitchen and my girlfriend was listening to a podcast. I don't know if you guys know the comedian, Miss Pat. Have you guys ever heard of Miss Pat?
I don't know, Miss Pat.
Okay. So
I've heard the name, but not so much.
Just to sum her up, she's a loudmouth, very aggressive woman, likes to talk a lot of shit. So as I'm listening to this
podcast, I see how your cousin's coming into this.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So I start thinking in my head, why in the hell doesn't my cousin have a podcast? So we start talking and I say, hey, you know, let's try. I'll be willing to do a podcast with you. Let's do it. Let's do it together. Her son, who is kind of like an audio engineer type.
Okay.
It started off as like a threesome, so to speak, where he was going to be doing the audio engineering part. My cousin and I were going to be the co-host. I hate the audio engineering part, the editing and all that other stuff. So that was kind of like the agreement, like, hey, let's all work on this together and everything should go smoothly, especially since her son at the time, he's 25 or so. He was kind of going through a rough patch in his life as well. So with that rough patch, there was a problem between my cousin and her son. So I said, hey, this could be a perfect opportunity for you guys to, you know, kind of work together on this kind of project while we kill some time while we're stuck in quarantine and whatnot. And it started going well. And we, at least me, I'm kind of like, I don't want to call myself a control freak, but I didn't like where it was going as far as, the podcast being uploaded on time and just accountability and all that other shit. So I said, okay, if you're not going to be like, I like my podcast to be coming out on Tuesdays at noon at a certain time, every time, you know, you want to build consistency. And all I would hear is excuses. Oh, he's running late or he's not doing the editing, whatever, whatever. So we ended up cutting him out, unfortunately. And me and my cousin have been doing it ever since. So as far as the podcast goes, that's kind of how it started. My cousin's sobriety, she had been drinking for 33 years and it started, her sobriety roughly started like on week 2 of our podcast. And I'm very happy to say that she has continued her sobriety all the way up till now.
That's wow. Crazy.
Yeah.
33 awesome. Years since yeah. that, just doing that math, that's 15.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. She, Mexican-American, grew up in East LA, and I've always kind of was raised around her. At one point I was babysitting her kid at 13, 14 years old while she would go out and get shit faced drunk. So that's how our relationship kind of grew closer through the times. And that's where we're at right now. So
was that when she left? Sorry, I'm
no, go ahead.
Making light of a serious topic here, but when she left, she's like, "All right, peace out. I'm gonna go get wasted." Like, is that like, "Hey, you look after my kid. I'm just gonna go get tanked here."
Pretty much, like,
just cards on the table. This is what's happening.
Oh yeah, I'm 13, 14 years old, still watching cartoons. She's like, "Hey, I'm gonna come drop off my son at your house. I gave him some NyQuil so he can go to sleep early. Don't even worry about it. I'm just dropping him off." That type of number. So she had plenty of stories as far as her drunkenness and all that other stuff that is behind her now. Knock on wood. Yeah. Hopefully it doesn't come back. But nevertheless, she continues to be herself, which is what you hear on the episodes.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, so over a year long. I mean, that's great.
Exactly. Yeah.
67 mm-hmm. episodes now. Is that right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's where we're at right now. And then as far as a quick little background on my family, I currently live with my girlfriend and my dog. We are attempting to have a child, hopefully sometime soon. We have had some unsuccessful chances to have this child, to say the least. But nevertheless, I have a daughter, like I mentioned earlier, she's 16. Mm-hmm. And as far as my family goes, I don't have really a big one. I have a mother, a father that I spoke about not too long ago off air, and a sister and a brother. And that's pretty much it.
So I again, doing the math, 16 year old and you're 35.
I'm 35.
Mm-hmm. So pretty young dad.
Yes. So I had my daughter at, I was told that by her mother that she was pregnant at 18, but I was 19 by the time she was born. Shit. So needless to say, I was very unprepared.
That's a graduation gift, eh? That's right. You're going to be a dad. Happy graduation.
to say the least, the curve of being a dad came at me pretty quick. So
did you find that you grew up really fast because of it, or did you still dick around like all of us do right through our 20s?
You know what? Luckily, I had a mom that kind of put me in place, because I was kind of like a piece of shit at the time. I'm over here smoking weed, freaking doing whatever the hell I have to do. And then I get hit with this news like, "Hey, you're going to be a dad." So mom's like, "All right, like, enough is enough. Enough of you fucking around. So that little part-time job that you have at UPS, you better go get another one." So, so that's basically how it started. So my kind of childhood fucking around years kind of took an abrupt halt at that point.
Yeah.
Would you say that was maybe just hearing that? And mm-hmm. if you use the words, as you said, fucking around, et cetera, would you mm-hmm. say that having the child actually benefited you overall in terms of like straight and narrow, sort of get a job, career type stuff, sort of fast track things a lot more?
100%. That's one thing. And it hurts, because I wrote this down to make sure I touch on it, that I didn't appreciate the years when I was 19, 20, 21, because I hope this is a sound, I hope you guys don't think of my different way, but I didn't want to have my daughter. When I first got the news, I tried to talk my girlfriend at the time out of it. I was like, "Hey, I'm not going to be with you. This is not going to work. I don't want a child. I want to go to school." At the time, I was kind of half-assing college and whatnot. Yeah. So I was kind of trying to make any excuse in the book to kind of get out of this. Right. And for whatever reason, I stuck around, kept with it. And at least looking back, I didn't appreciate those years as much as I should. Mm-hmm. Now that I'm looking back, I just think some of the things I just don't remember, possibly because I was stressed about not being able to pay the bills. Mind you, at the time, I didn't have a damn dollar to my name.
Right.
And there was a lot of times, sleepless nights, working the second job, and then still knowing that I brought this child into this world with a woman that I wasn't in love with. And, right. And in my eyes, of course, just like everybody's dream, right? When you have a child, it's going to be with your wife and everything's going to go great. You guys are going to be living in the home together. And that wasn't the case. So there was a point in my life where I was kind of borderline depressed. I didn't go to a doctor or anything like that, but I was kind of just beating myself up where I'm kind of reliving the same thing as my father.
Yeah.
But as the time went on, of course, you start thinking like, okay, well, I can be in this child's life just as much as maybe me and the mother are not together, but nevertheless, I could still be in her life. So Absolutely. I say all that to answer your question. Absolutely. It really did put me in line and actually have some perspective and actually say, okay, maybe I need to grow up and be here for this child. And I've been here ever since.
So what do you think when you hear the term co-parenting, what do you think of that? Do you think that's realistic, or is it two individual parents just operating and trying to do the best for the kid? Like,
when I think about co-parenting, it could be hard. It could definitely be hard, especially if you're not in the home, right?
Yeah.
Because my daughter's mom can tell you, there's a lot of things that I don't agree with her with.
Right.
So
I think that exists in my household too. Yeah, I don't think you have to live apart, shit that you disagree about.
Right. So at least with her, I would kind of think, cause okay, I'm raising this daughter and I want to raise her a certain way. And the mother is thinking something totally different. So at least it takes two well-rounded individuals that could put their egos aside, their beliefs aside, and say, hey, you know what? We need to compromise. We need to come to some type of agreement if we're going to raise a young girl to be a woman someday. Mm-hmm. So
you do compromise, or do you railroading each other all the time?
At the beginning, I'm not going to lie to you. At the beginning, when we first split up, my daughter's mom and I split up. I want to say, if it wasn't right before my daughter's first birthday, it was shortly after. So we were living together very little. We ended up splitting up. And so we've been separate for almost my daughter's whole life. But the co-parenting, it can happen, but it's going to be very hard.
Yeah.
So with the, I don't know whether you've had situations. I know I've seen other cases where in the co-parenting world, there are certain individuals, or like one side or the other, is like, I am the, like, I'm gonna buy you a whole bunch of stuff. I'm gonna like not have rules over at my house. Like, I want to be the absolute
best friend, best parent
type person.
I'm gonna win this competition of parenting.
Right. Like, you're gonna be me. And like, you go over to the other person's house, which is maybe a lot more rule based. Like, I would like you to actually be probably more of a fully fledged human rather than just
everything
else. And so there's like a total whipsaw of environments, etc. Mm-hmm. Did you have anything like that, or is it
not really? Her mom in this case, I think the mom is a little bit more disciplinary than I am, but nevertheless, okay. I grew up with a mom that has been working two jobs as long as I can remember to this day. My mom is 65 and she's still working two jobs. So my mom kind of raised us like, hey, like, I don't have time for emotions. I don't have time for tears. I don't give a shit. Do your job. And that's it. So I kind of have, not that I'm very rude to my daughter, but I'm very blunt. I'm very honest and very direct. So in that sense, I guess me and her mother kind of rule with the same type of rule.
Yeah.
So there isn't really an extreme. So I think in that part, me and her mother do a great job where we come to that compromise. Like, we actually speak through text. I don't like talking to her, but we talk through text a lot.
Right.
And we discuss things and stuff like that when it comes to my daughter. And we usually like to do things on the same page. So
does your daughter's mom, does she listen to your podcast and then hold it over your head for the shit that you say on there?
She actually does. My daughter and her listen to
shit.
My daughter and her listen to it together. And there's a lot of shit that I say. But you know what? Shit, maybe it's not coming to my head, but I don't think I've said too many bad things about her. Like, the things that I say, when I catch myself, at least predict, like, damn, should I have not said that? But I always tell myself, at least I was being honest. Being honest in everything that I say. So I'm sure she knows how I feel about her. Like, hey, she's a great mother to my daughter, but I think we came together at a certain point in our life for a purpose. That maybe my daughter was meant to be and come along. Right. So we had our time, our moment in the sun, we separated and we're good. She knows how I feel. And shit, it is what it is. She likes it. She likes it. She doesn't. Well, she could always turn it off.
So do you have any, you know, with the working through this thing in terms of different personalities and, you know, who knows what it's like on her side in terms of her feelings towards you, et cetera. Mm-hmm. But I would maybe take a leap, assuming that both sides are sort of on that same, like, I'd rather not talk to you. I would rather talk to someone else. How do you overcome that? How do you bridge the gap between, you know, knowing that you're trying to parent this daughter, right, to the best capability, and that you have to reach some type of common ground? How do you begin that process? And, you know, for anyone else that's listening out there, like just maybe going through it at the beginning, et cetera, what tips they could have?
I mean, it was hard at the beginning. I can't say we really ever had a formal like discussion, like, hey, we need to put our differences aside for this child. I don't think I ever had anything like that. So unfortunately, the people that are looking for some advice, I don't really have any. The only thing I could say is that I've always just tried to be as honest as I possibly could. And I've always kind of told myself, like, whatever the hell happens between us, like, I'm going to be here for this girl. And if that means putting my ego aside or whatever I feel towards my daughter's mom on the back burner, just to be able to get this job done, I think it's needed to. So I know it's harder for men to check their ego a little bit, but sometimes for the sake of the child, I think you're going to have to. So that, I guess that could be some advice, right? Sometimes you got to check your ego at the door before you even start doing this thing, because raising a child is not easy. That's for damn sure.
I think that's actually probably a very big one. That you hit that down. I mean, if you are able to check your ego a little bit, it's, you realize that you're not necessarily arguing to them about their stuff. You need to check yourself and realize, okay, no, the end goal is this. Okay, this is another person that's involved in life. Okay, we just gotta work things out and do that, rather than like the nitpicky emotional digs or whatever it is. There's no benefit to that.
Yes, and it wasn't easy, because right after my daughter and my daughter's mom and I broke up, I kind of started dating a woman right after that. I would say maybe a few months after that. So there was, for sure, there were some fights, because right, that was one of the first things that came up. Obviously, one of us was going to get a partner. In this case, I was the first one to get a new partner, and she wasn't having it. She was like, you're not bringing a new woman into my daughter's life, so on and so forth. So though there was those arguments and stuff like that, but at the end of the day, I could honestly say that we do a pretty good job as far as compromising and agreeing to stuff and stuff like that.
That's pretty good. Now, I mean, that sounds like far too good of advice for a podcast host. Podcast's name is Bad Advice. Like, where did the name Bad Advice come from?
I came up with that, and I came up with it literally in roughly 10 minutes or so. But I my idea was like, okay, well, we'll call it Bad Advice. I'll try to give good advice, but just in case the shit ever comes out bad or guys misinterpret, then you can't hold it against me. I already told you what it was.
So your title was a disclaimer.
Yes. Okay. Exactly. Exactly. That's exactly how it came about.
Now, speaking of advice, you know, you're talking about honesty, and you've mentioned it a couple times that you're always trying to be honest to yourself, and you're being honest, brutally honest to your daughter. Is it, if you're talking about advice you would give to dads or to parents for their kids, what are the character traits that you champion for your daughter? Like, what do you think are the most important things for her or any parent to represent to their kids, to model and support?
So that's a great question. For my daughter, I try to instill a good work ethic. I've talked to her about bum bitches before. You guys ever heard the term of bum bitches before? You guys know what bum bitches are?
Basically, I'm gonna say no.
Yeah. I don't know if that's popularized here in Vancouver yet.
So basically, a woman that has nothing going for herself, no job, no nothing, not willing to bring anything to any type of relationship or anything, just basically choosing their beauty before their brains.
Didn't they used to call those pigeons? Wasn't that the response to the TLC song, No Scrubs?
To the No Scrubs. I believe it. No Pigeons. Yeah. I think you're right. You're right. Yep. Okay. So at least
you can tell that I'm living back in the fucking 90s, aren't I?
Yeah. So I try to just instill a good work ethic. I mean, I think that's the beginning with everything. I don't sugarcoat shit with her. Like I had mentioned earlier off camera, she plays basketball. She plays JV basketball. And I've told her to her face numerous times, you're awful. You are absolutely awful. But at the same time, I do help her. It's like, hey, I know you're awful now, but we're gonna work towards getting better. So I give her goals, and as far as everything's going right now, she's doing super well. Now going to the recommendation or kind of things that parents need to instill these type of things into kids, I think you have to lead by example. 100%. So I use my cousin a lot as an example of how not to do certain things. And just for example, she can't tell her kids not to to not drink when she was an alcoholic herself. So I think you absolutely have to lead, for example. Like with my daughter, I'm always pressing her about like, hey, like since she's not as good as she should be in basketball, it's like, hey, so when are you going to start dribbling? When are you going to start doing all this after work, after practice? But I can't tell her that if I'm sitting my lazy ass on the couch or on the beanbag, right, not doing right. anything. Yeah. So I'll make sure I go out. I like to run. So I'll make sure I got my Nike app right here and I'll scan a screenshot like, hey, this is the work that I'm doing. I hope you're doing something on your side. Okay. So I always have to check myself like, hey, if I'm talking all this shit to her, like, hey, you have to do X, Y, and Z, I better be doing the same thing. So I guess that'll be my advice. If you are going I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I'm just wondering what kind of responses I get from her. Cause I can imagine that if I sent that to my kids and my kids are 10, 8, and 6, each one of them would tell me to fuck off. So like how are you getting away with that with a 16-year-old daughter? Like,
I don't know how to answer that because I don't know if I'm just, I don't know if I'm just lucky or, but she's been awesome where okay. she, like I've told her to her face, you make it very easy to be a father, but, I kind of go off of the, I invented this thing doesn't exist, but I call it the beat their ass meter. You ever heard of the beat their ass meter before or anything like that?
I have not.
Explain.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. You're bringing all kinds of new shit to us today.
So for me, I think you have to, when you're raising a child, you got to beat their ass early and often. And when I say beat their ass, I don't want to get arrested. I don't want people knocking on my door, talking about child protective services, none of that stuff. When I mean beat their ass, I mean, yeah, you might have to spank them a little bit. I only spanked my daughter once in her life. But when I say beat their ass, my mom, when she was raising us, she was very good at verbal judo and making us feel like shit just with her words. Okay. So when I say beat their ass at an early age, yeah, you're gonna have to discipline them like nice and early. And as they get older, the beating of their ass, quote unquote, it should be less and less and less as they get older. And as they're getting older, the more of advice. Now you're more of a counselor and all that other stuff. So that's why I always say the beat their ass meter needs to be super high at a very early age. And as they start growing up, you need to start beating their ass less and less. And if you're not beating their ass less and less as they're getting older, obviously you're doing something wrong. So that's how I guess I got away with it. I verbally beat her down when I have to, but now that she's 16, now those beat downs are very little. I mean what I say and I'm very honest. So now the stuff now it's just like, I'm just letting her know expectations. It's not really, scolding her or reprimanding her of anything like that. So, now I guess when I give her some type of advice, she knows just like, okay, I better just do it. It's for my best, you know?
Does she set her own expectations for herself? Like, do you have a conversation about what her goals are, or are they mostly driven by you and what you expect of her?
So, I like to think of myself of an untraditional dad.
Okay.
Now as she's older, me and her have great dialogue and we're able to talk to each other. I see her almost every day. I pick her up from school every day. I drive her to all her games, practice, all that good stuff. So we talk pretty often. And like I said earlier, her mom is more of a kind of like a dictator. So it kind of seems that she vents with me a little bit more and I ask more questions than I do directives. Okay. So whenever she has a decision like, hey, I think I'm going to do X, okay, well, do you think that's a good idea? Or I give her the other option. The other option's probably what I want. So that's why I'm presenting it to her.
Right.
So I kind of, I want to slowly, gently push her into that direction. I shouldn't be saying this because she's going to be hearing this. It's just like, oh, this motherfucker's been doing this, this whole time.
That but, manipulative. Yeah.
but I think as a father or as a parent, period, I think that's all you can do.
Yeah.
All you can do is try to raise them right when they're young so they can get that whatever you're trying to instill them at an early age.
It's a game of inception. You're just planting ideas and hoping that they decide that they're their ideas.
100%. That's all you can do. That's all you can do. The best teacher they have is the parent in the home and mm-hmm. what they see and all that other stuff. So so at least in that essence, she's being raised right, all I can do is suggest things now. I can't beat her ass anymore. I'm not doing any of that stuff. Now it's just more suggestions and asking questions. So whenever she has a bad idea or a bad suggestion, I'm interrogating her like crazy. Like, hey, do you think that's a good idea? And just presenting more options and trying to be the father that I didn't have when I was right. at her age.
Mm-hmm. And so what happens when she goes down one of those roads of one of those bad ideas or bad suggestions? Like what's the next step then?
Man, luckily, I don't think I've had.
Because you know it's going to happen.
Oh, 100%. You know it's going to happen. 100%. I think it's not even a big decision, but the only thing that I've said where I kind of talked her out of it is when she told me she wanted to quit basketball.
Right.
Where she kind of told me, this was maybe 2-3 years ago, where she's like, I don't know how to tell you this, but I think I want to quit basketball. So I kind of give her suggestions on why I want to keep her in it. Not only is it the work ethic, it's staying in shape, but it's learning how to lose, how to work with the team, deal with other personalities and whatnot. And that shit, you're going to be dealing with that at jobs and careers and all that other stuff. So I suggest you stick with it. And luckily she ended up going in that right direction. But I'm kind of bracing myself for bigger decisions that she decides to make. But as of right now, knock on wood, everything has gone well. So we'll see. I guess I'll see how it goes whenever that good decision comes my way.
You know, if she turns around and tells you that she's not interested in basketball anymore, she's going to be a golfer, or you know, mm-hmm. she's going to make pottery in some, you know, hippie van in the desert out in Joshua Tree. Like, mm-hmm. how as a dad are you going to deal with that?
I think I'm good with it. And
you good with it?
Yeah. When she first brought it up the first time, I let her know, hey, I'm going to support you 100% in whatever you're trying to do.
Yeah.
So if you're with it, let's do it. Just let me know. So I stop buying you these damn expensive shoes. just let me know. And we'll cut that off immediately. Yeah.
That's interesting. And yeah. So, I mean, in terms of the support level, she said she wasn't interested in basketball. Now, in that scenario, was she proposing some other sport, or is it like, I just don't want to do anything, and therefore that's why you suggested sticking with it?
You know what? I don't even think we went that far, just because, I mean, I don't know how many other sports she's going to try out. This girl's played a little bit of everything. At one point, I think her first sport was softball, and then her mother put her into some, I don't even want to mispronounce the word, but the Mexican dancers with the big dresses, and they're doing all that crazy stuff. Maybe you guys don't know what it is, but it's like some Mexican type of dance. She put her in that. She didn't want to do that. She played soccer for a little bit. She was really good. She didn't like it. She didn't like running. She's a little bit on the lazy side. So then eventually we ended up getting, as she started getting older, I watched basketball religiously. She started catching on. And then she, I believe it was in the seventh grade where she said, I think I'm ready to try basketball. So this is, this is probably her last and final sport that she's probably willing to try.
Right.
So if basketball doesn't work out, if she doesn't go to the WNBA and get me out of this Long Beach hellhole, then I guess I'm going to be stuck here. And this is that. So
well, I'm not sure a contract with the WNBA can get you out of Long Beach. Like, they probably make less than you do.
Sadly, I think you're right. I think you're absolutely right.
Yeah.
So mm-hmm. with regards to back to your podcast there, with the age differential between both of you and the host wise, mm-hmm. What's that dynamic like in terms of lessons learned from
Gen X versus millennials?
Yeah, kind of exactly. Like, do you feel that at all? Or is there like, what's the dynamic there?
To be perfectly honest, I don't really feel that much of a big one. There's a few instances where she's referring, when she's talking about some old ass actors that I never heard of in my life, where she brings it up. I'm like, who the fuck are you talking about? Like, right. I, unfortunately, I don't know who the hell you're talking about. But since we kind of grew up together, and unfortunately, in my opinion, she's probably going to hate me for this because she is a college graduate or whatever the fuck you want to call it. I am not. So she prides herself on her education. So she thinks she's light years ahead of me. But I really don't feel one, to be perfectly honest. Maybe the alcohol kind of kept her in distance with me as far as the mentality. I don't know. But I really don't feel one. I think it goes fairly well. I know we bicker back and forth a little bit, but I think it serves its purpose.
With her dynamic, is she together with someone with her kids, or is it the same dynamic, or what's involved there?
So she's a single mom. She has two baby daddies. Her first child is 25, if I'm not mistaken, the ex audio engineer for the Bad Advice podcast.
Right.
And he grew up without a father. And she also has, I believe, her second son from a different man, and he's 11, if I'm not mistaken. So, right now, currently, she is not dating somebody. She's single. So if you guys know anybody, you want to send her way, please do me a favor. My God, I don't know how it's going to work, but
they're going to be a strong fucking guy.
A strong,
having listened to your podcast.
Yes.
Holy shit.
A super strong man or a super weak one.
Yeah.
And yeah, to be perfectly honest, I think she'd probably prefer a very weak one. At least these last few episodes, I don't know what episode you caught, but at least the last one that I had with her, she got very a little angry when I started talking about low value women and technology being the biggest rival to low value women. So I don't know if she classifies herself as a low value woman, but like I've said in the past, hey, if the shoe fits, hey, put that shit on. But but nevertheless, I say all that to say she's single, looking. She says she's looking for love, but I say she's looking for a slave.
Right. Well, I mean, aren't we all? Now, with two baby daddies and two not so happy experiences there, and having listened to the podcast, not such a great view on men and fathers overall. Maybe tell me a little bit about that and how that plays into the podcast and how it plays into her influence on you over the years and currently on being a dad.
So she comes from a two-parent household. Her father still drinks to this day. So does she pick up the habit from him? Maybe, I don't know. I don't know, to be perfectly honest, where she got this idea or hatred for men. She continues to say over and over that she's not a man hater. Every time she says anything negative about men, I make sure I bring that shit up. I say, hey, here comes that man hating bullshit again. But to be perfectly honest, I just don't know why she thinks about this. She has a huge ego. She was raised by damn near a single woman, her mother. And I say a single woman, the father was in the home, but the father just went to work and that was it. He went to work and sat in his chair and had a few beers after work. And he did that for X amount of years. So he was there, but in my opinion, did he do a great job as far as, or duties as far as raising a father and being there and going to the practices and all that? He's not that type. He's a man of very few words. So that's why I kind of say that she was raised by a single mom. My mom was single. Her mom and my mom are sisters. So, and my mom has changed, but when she was at a younger age, they all were kind of like, fuck men. We don't need them. We could do it by ourselves. So is it the stuff that she was taught at an early age? It has to be. I mean, all her women role models, quote unquote, that were around her were single, negative women that had bad relationships with men. So right. I get it. Like, I get that that's how you think about men. And then the only instances that you've had with men are your two baby daddies. She's had a few other relationships, but the two baby daddies that she had were what I like to call them, with, for a lack of a better term, some know nothing motherfuckers. Right. So I get it where she gets that outlook on men. But for me, the thing that still just blows my mind at this age, that you're raising two boys. So maybe your message should be a little bit different.
Right.
I think, unfortunately, that's kind of the problem with men these days, where same thing with me. Like, I was raised by a single mother, and I was raised to every so often, every weekend, when they would be drinking and crying and all this other bullshit, hating men, all I would hear is that men ain't shit.
Right.
So did they raise kids with some self-esteem issues? 100%. Like, as far as me, yeah, 100%. Like, I don't think much of myself. So am I trying to get out of that? Absolutely. But at least for her, I've told her, but it's like, maybe you need to start acting a little bit different. Maybe you need to bring down that volume a little bit, because no man is going to stick around for that shit, you know?
Yeah.
No man wants to come in from slaying the proverbial dragon out there in the world and come home to a bickering woman, an arguing woman. Like, we just got done with that shit in the street. We don't want to come in here and have another fight. So that's kind of the guidance that I told her, like, hey, I mean, you might want to tone it down a little bit, or you're just going to, I mean, sad to say, but you're going to fuck around and die alone.
Yeah. Right. Do you think that having experienced that caused you to want to be more involved and more committed? Like, did it drive you to go the opposite direction of your dad and of the men that your mom and your aunt and your cousin and everybody shit all over?
I subconsciously had to have, I can't say there was a day where I said, you know what, I'm just going to be different. I never had that kind of thought, I'm going to show you that
men aren't all dicks. And
exactly. I never had that kind of moment in my life, but, I guess I know you had sent me some questions, and one of them was like, what was one of the biggest or people that influenced your life and parenting? I could say my mother and my father. My mother, as far as work ethic and all that other stuff, like I had mentioned earlier, she works two jobs, has been doing it forever. But my father, I guess in his negative actions, it kind of taught me to recycle my pain, so to speak, where his ass wasn't there. He left me at an early age, and I'm going to try to be the total opposite.
Yeah.
So, and shit, it's worked out. It's worked out for the best.
There's this, from the people that we have spoken with, that have had single parent households, mostly mothers raising them,
which is a lot.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. It's probably half our interviews.
Yeah, it is, and it's certainly a common theme overall. Is that, listen, I am not going to be like my dad. Like, they go almost the opposite route of, like, I'm going to be as involved as I can be. Like, I'm going to be more involved than anyone else out there. Like,
right.
I'm there all the time. I'm going to counteract and, like, go way, way on the other end of things, just because this is all the stuff that I never had. It's interesting. Now, hopefully that's across the board from everyone's experience out there. If they've had, you know, just a father, let's say that's left, and they all who have kids end up being exactly the opposite. I don't know whether that's the case or not.
Exactly. At least from I don't associate with deadbeat dads, right? I guess I wouldn't be a great father if I did. But at least for my cousin's case, the two baby daddies that she had ended up being just deadbeat fathers. One, the first one kind of basically said, hey, this is not going to work. I don't want nothing to do with you. So it never was in the kid's life. The second one was in his kid's life for a little bit. And I guess, I don't know, because obviously this is my cousin's story, but I guess the internal issues that they were having, where they just said, okay, you know what, I'm getting the fuck out of Dodge. Now the child is without a father. So I guess in her case, and some of the people, some of the horror stories that I've heard, it unfortunately, there is a lot of deadbeat dads out there.
Yeah.
So hopefully the tide is turning, but at least I have heard some horror stories, and I just think, how the fuck, how does that happen?
Moving towards still on the line of relationship, et cetera. So with relationships regarding your daughter, in terms of her experiences with men, et cetera, how do you start that conversation and your feelings towards it, et cetera?
So just recently, I would say probably maybe 2 months ago, she kind of let me know that I'm kind of talking to a little boy. I shouldn't say little boy, 16 years old, his damn self. So Shay, I'm talking to someone, and I'm a realist. I kind of saw this coming a long time ago, and I said, okay, at one point, what am I going to do? Like, am I going to be that father? Like, no, absolutely not. Like, you're not going to have a boyfriend till you're 20, 21. Nah, like, I don't think that works, because the more you block them from something, they're probably going to go more towards it. So at least the way that I've raised her, she's been pretty honest. We've had the conversation as far as what to expect from boys and whatnot. I've been 100% honest with her. As far as the birds and the bees talk, her mom took that role. She had that conversation with her at an early age. If I had to guess, I would say probably 11, 12 years old. I hope I'm not mistaken, but they had that talk a little bit on the early age. And I didn't go that far as how the sex thing goes. Fuck, I don't even want to talk about that quite yet. But but I kind of told her, like, hey, like, it would behoove you to, if you're going to have a child, make sure you have, or not even have a child, if you're going to start engaging in sex, it better be safe and take your time. Don't be like your mother and father, where you had a child at an early age. There's so much things you got to do in the world. You got to travel and do all this other shit. Like, there's no need to have a child so early. So as far as that goes, the sexual relationship conversation, we've had one already. And I think you just got to roll with the punches. There's no way you can really prepare for it. It's going to come, and all you can do is be receptive to it. All you can do is try to open your arms to your daughter, or my daughter, and the young man, so to speak. So hopefully they're able to keep everything as open as possible. So at least up to date, it's working out for us.
That's good. In terms of, like, getting her prepared for what to look for in men, right? In a partner, that sort of thing. Obviously, she's 16. She's not really looking for a partner yet, but right. It's the conversation you have. And given, you know, her grandmother, her great aunt, her, you know, cousin, your cousin, like a lot of the women role models. And then I imagine probably her mom, you know, having a co-parenting arrangement, that there's a bit of that perpetuation of the man hating and men are shit. Like, how with her are you combating that and, you know, showing her what to look for in a guy that's not going to be what all these other women have experienced and hated?
I've been brutally honest with her. I told her, check that shit at the door.
Yeah.
A relationship with a man is just that. It's supposed to be a relationship. It's not supposed to be a burden. Nobody wants to come in here and deal with your mouth. Like, no one's going to deal with that shit. And at least the best teacher for me has been me and the relationship I have with my girlfriend.
Yeah.
My girlfriend. So my daughter's mom, very hard-headed, very opinionative, kind of like my cousin, kind of like my mom.
Okay.
And versus my girlfriend that is a little bit more compassionate, more friendly, easy to get along with. Some people don't like this word, but a little bit more submissive. So I just, and I've kind of explained to her, like, men and women are different. Women have a role in society and in relationships and all that good stuff. And men do too. Like, we don't, a woman can't, it's, how do I say this? A woman has her role. I mean, there's no other way to say it. Like, women are supposed to be taking care of everything at home. Like, they run the shit. We need them. We need them. They need us. But as soon as you start having male characteristics, like being combative, always wanting to be right, like those are characteristics of a man. Like, men like to be in control. So as soon as a woman starts doing manly stuff, so to speak, that, like, when they start wanting to run the relationship and always be right and always argue and stuff like that, that's not going to work. You're going to end up being single, just like some of the women around you. So there's going to be some occasions where you're going to have to bite your tongue, and it is what it is. Of course, you're not going to want to tolerate a man that's verbally abusing you or whooping your ass. Never. But But again, like there has to be roles in relationships. So if your mom is not with some of the things that I'm teaching, well, you have to look at the proof in the pudding. One of us is in a relationship and one of them isn't. And I'm obviously the one in a relationship.
We got that.
Yeah, no, you're coming from a, yeah, I'm still fortunately a little ways away before having to have this conversation, et cetera, but I've always sort of had in my mind of saying, like, listen, like, you as a woman are essentially in control here. Like, we as men, especially in teenage years, et cetera, we're all retarded. Like, we want one thing, and like, you could puppeteer us around, like, and but like, with great responsibility. Yeah, with great power comes great responsibility, right? Like,
100%.
Knowing that is one thing, but you can't just like control the whole situation. Like, there is some balance there, but just know at the end of the day,
yes, like, you cannot abuse that power.
Far more powerful than what you understand.
I agree. No, I totally agree. And I try to kind of, I tell her a little bit of that stuff, but also like, I'm trying to make her at least prepare her to be a good partner to somebody, to be a good woman.
Yes.
And I definitely don't want to raise a combative woman. That's for damn sure.
Right. Yeah. I don't know. I take a bit of a different view on it, and I don't want to, you know, question what you're saying.
No.
I'm trying to push my girls to be that stronger, like the female that's not gonna get walked over, that it's their body, do what the fuck they want, take control, you know, run the world, that sort of thing. And I know it's probably gonna create some challenges in relationships. Mm-hmm. But I would say being too submissive also creates a lot of issues.
And oh, 100%.
So, I have three.
Like everything, balance.
I have three, right? Spirited daughters, right? And so Graham and I have five daughters between the two of us.
Gotcha.
And my girls are super like aggressive. I think that's fair to say. And they get it from their mother. Their mother is ex-military, like an officer, engineer, that kind of thing, right?
Right.
Who's also doesn't put up with my shit,
okay,
which is required. Because otherwise I would steamroll the whole lot of them.
Yeah, because he's not aggressive at all.
No. And so I think it's, I agree with you on certain aspects where it's like, if you are just an asshole every time he walks in the door and you treat him like dirt because you have a philosophical belief that men aren't shit.
Right.
Then that's a problem.
100%.
Right. You shouldn't be in a relationship with somebody you think is shit in the first place. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, at no point should you be allowing that person to run your life and tell you who you are or what you should be.
Absolutely.
That person can go fuck themselves.
Absolutely. So, absolutely. So no, I agree. I 100% agree. It's definitely okay. A very fine line that you got to walk. What I've told to my co-host and I've told my daughter as well. Look at the relationship I have with my girlfriend now. I say that I'm the leader in the home, but I'm as a matter of fact, before we started the podcast, I was the one in the kitchen cooking. Tomorrow morning I'm going to be the one that's scrubbing the floors tomorrow. So like I told her plenty of times, like, it's a partnership. Like, there's things that you got to do that I can't do, and vice versa when it comes to, like, I've told her it, whenever you end up partnering with somebody, a boyfriend, a husband, when there's a loud noise at downstairs, I don't expect you to get up. It's his job. It's his job to get up. That's his role. As far as like providing, protecting you and all that other stuff, that's his job. Like, that's the stuff that he needs to get done. All the other stuff, you'll figure yourself out. But like I said, I've tried to at least work on her confidence level with basketball and other things, that she'll know exactly when a bad man comes into her life. And I've kind of told her, like, I'll never expect you to get with a shithead guy, because that's not what I showed you. Like, I never talk down to my girlfriend. I never call her out of her name. I never raise my voice or anything like that. And my girlfriend's not disrespecting me.
Yeah.
So that's like the sign of a healthy relationship.
I was going to say that those are all signs of a healthy relationship rather than a, you know, dominant and submissive one.
Right? Of course. 100%. 100%. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So we have one question that we kind of close up interviews with, you know, that we think is a good question to kind of understand how far you'll go with parenting. Okay. Like, what's that one thing that you absolutely hate to do as a dad, but you do it anyways because you know it's the right thing to do?
Oh, if I had to guess, is be honest with her. and just not sugarcoating anything, because yeah. there's been something like there's a point where I think I maybe went over the edge as far as like just being too honest and talking shit, when in reality my daughter was trying the best that she could. So I'll tell the little story. I guess this was a game, I believe this was when she first started, she was playing YMCA basketball. And she had a horrible game. Like, it was awful. Like I said at the beginning, she's not a superstar. But at least in that game, it just looked like she wasn't even trying. So I kind of went overboard after the game, just talking shit. And me and her mother, we separated. We went our separate ways. And her mom texts me like, hey, your daughter cried all the way home. I think you went a little bit too hard on her. And so at least for me, I wish I was better at maybe not being so blunt and so direct sometimes, because I know at least with girls, maybe with boys, you can talk to them a little bit different. But at least at that point, I think she needed a father to be a little bit more caring and understanding instead of a dick. And I look back at that occasion, I was like, okay, I was a dick that time. So there's sometimes where I just, like I've told her in the past, is like, sometimes I need to tell you what you need to know, not what you want to hear. And sometimes I'm a bad judge of character at that. So unfortunately, sometimes I wish I could lie to her a little bit better, and I don't. if that sounds okay. I don't know if that sounds good or not.
Yeah. No, it's great. It's always interesting the different answers that come up with this type of question. So that's great. I really appreciate you coming on the show. Bad advice podcast for those out there, for individuals that want to understand you and things more, or what's the best place to reach out to you or see you, etc.
So you could come on Instagram. You could come to my page. It's called at Bad Advice. Bad is spelled with two A's, BAAD, and then advice. It has links to the bio. Our podcast is on Spotify, it's on iTunes, and it's on iHeartRadio. DMs are open. Send me any type of suggestions you want to talk shit to me. I've got plenty of those with people that don't that don't agree with exactly the stuff that I post and what I say and whatnot. So all that stuff is welcome. Feedback is greatly appreciated. So if anybody wants to reach me, probably the best place would be on Instagram, which is The Bad Advice.
Fantastic. Well, once again, thank you so much for coming on. Really appreciate it for your time and insight into the different worlds of things. So thank you so much, and all the best.
I appreciate you. Thank you so much.
Thanks again.
Mm-hmm.